This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
We do not take this for granted. We magnify you. We acknowledge your lordship in this place tonight. We ask, O God, that you come have your place in every heart, in every life. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are worshipped. Hallelujah. We may be seated in God's presence. Glory to God. Glory to God. Has anybody been recording victory in their lives? We are in a day where every man is being equipped to rise and fight their own warfare. Hello, sir. Hallelujah. The level of witchcraft attack and demonic oppression is at an unprecedented level. And if you are going to wait for your turn when you will be able to have a one-on-one with the man of God, the damage will be collateral. Can you hear me tonight? If all you are waiting for is to be that Christian that will wait until his own turn will come to see the man of God, I want to remind you that a man had waited for 38 years before. Is it 38 years or 48 years? 38 years. Waiting for when the pool will be stirred. When the angel comes to trouble the waters, when he will have his own turn. The Bible said he explained to Jesus that as I'm struggling to wiggle my way into the pool, someone else will step into it before me. And so he waited 38 long years to get his turn to the pool. That is what happens when you place the fate of your destiny on the hopes of when you will have your own one-on-one with the man of God. But I want you to be aware that God had already given his spirit on everyone. And that is why education is coming. So that you will know the rules of engagement and know how to prosecute it yourself. Because what God wants to raise is deliverers, not wimps that will be waiting for their own turn to have their own one-on-one with the man of God. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing absolutely wrong with that. But the challenge is, as far as your own particular personal case is concerned, when will you have your turn? I don't know if that bothers anybody here tonight. And that is why the education, the equipping is coming. Because if you deploy yourself to the truth of God's word, you will command the same result anybody will command. The word of God is tried. That is what it means. That is to say, it has become an established protocol that is scientific. If you apply all the rules of scripture, you will have the same result the people in scripture and in every other generation have. The results can be repeated. It can be replicated. It's so unfortunate that you will see a little girl initiated at age, at a very tender age, and by age 4, He is already well equipped in darkness that in the nursery school, he can afflict his classmates, afflict the teachers, afflict the caregivers, have absolute control of the supernatural. But the average believer can be in church for 18 years, for 30 years, and they are completely ignorant about spiritual warfare. They fall easy prey to demonic wickedness. And that is why God has occasioned this season to bring that level of education so that the least among us will become as strong as David, as our father had prophesied over us over the years. Hallelujah. Last night, we began to look at some of the causes of defeat in spiritual warfare. We saw that there are rules of engagement. The army of God is a very disciplined army that fight according to rules. Who can remind us some of the rules we looked at last night? Yes. Legal structures. Yes. Which other one? Sorry? Avoid unauthorized battles. Yes. Which other one? Clearance level of authority. I want to add one more tonight to the rules of engagement in prosecuting a spiritual warfare. I know that in the course of these lectures, a lot of questions have been arising in the hearts of many as it has to do with their own particular experience. So we are trusting God that by this weekend we'll be attending to those questions. So if you're following us online, you can do well to type in your questions. And if you are in the house, physically present here, you can also write your questions and pass them to the ushers. And we'll collate the questions and see how we can address them in the course of this weekend as God gives us grace. If you have your Bible, can you turn with me to Psalms 115 and verse 16? As we take one more rule of engagement. In Psalm 115 verse 16, the Bible says, "The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men." The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth had he given to the children of men. The next point I want us to consider tonight is the concept of jurisdiction. Jurisdiction. There are several definitions of that term in the dictionary, but the one that applies to our discussion tonight, jurisdiction means the limits or territory within which authority may be exercised. The limit or territory within which authority may be exercised. So when we are looking at the subject or the concept of jurisdiction, we are looking at the idea that even though you are given an authority, your authority is not universal. Your authority has limits. Even though you are given an authority, your authority is not allowed to be exercised everywhere. There is a limit where you can exercise this authority. There is a locale. There is a particular territory that have been assigned to you, within which your authority can be exercised, outside of which that your authority will not be recognized, outside of which that your authority will not be obeyed, and as a matter of fact, outside of which, if you attempt to exercise such an authority that have been given or delegated to you, it will be considered as a criminal act. It will be criminalized. It will be illegal. And hence, you will become a victim to the laws of this territory beyond which your authorities cannot be exercised. If you fully grasp the concept of jurisdiction, you will realize that it is within the scope of legal structure. There is a legal ambience where the authority that God has delegated to you can find free expression without any form of opposition, unchallenged. In the passage where we read, the Bible said, the heaven, even the heavens, are whose? The Lord's. But the earth had he given to the sons of men. At man's creation, the idea that informed and defined the purpose of the creation of man was clearly defined in Genesis chapter 1. God said, let us make man that he may have dominion. And the scope and limits of this dominion were rigidly delineated. It is established that this dominion will be in the earth domain. It will be in the earth realm. And that is what the passage of our text in Psalm 115 verse 16, clearly explained here. That it is earth that God has given to man, to the sons of men. So if you are a human being, the scope of your authority is rigidly limited to where? Earth. No matter how powerful, no matter how anointed, whoever you are, what is the jurisdiction of your dominion mandate? It is where? Earth. The scope of your powers can only go unchallenged where? On earth. I want this to be well established in your mind so that you will know where you are powerful and not step beyond the limits of your powers and not step beyond the scope of your jurisdiction. Jurisdiction is a legal register. It's a legal terminology. And you see that in warfare that are in a nature that have legalities as a major factor. Knowing the limits of your rights and remaining in your right is what gives you the highest level of power. Whenever you are engaging or prosecuting a form of battle that has legal implication, what makes you the most powerful is when you are in your right. Whenever you are within your rights, you will be able to compel the powers of the supreme authority that is available. And in God's justice system, he normally backs the person that is in his right. That is why in Lamentation, the Bible said, to subvert a man in his course, the Lord does not approve. God will always back the personality that is in his right, because he is the judge of the whole earth. And that is the reason why Satan will prefer to win an argument and be in his right when he is going to attack us. Because he is also subject to the justice system of heaven. That is why the devil will rather prefer that you are in the wrong, because that will make him to be in the right in order for him to afflict you. And when you are wrong, the devil will use that as an occasion against you. And God, because he is a just God, because he is a God of judgment, the God of justice, he will not be able to help you. You will be at the mercy of Satan. Why? Satan is in his right in that battle or warfare engagement against your life. That is why, if you are going to win a war, it will be wise, therefore, to be in your right, to stay within the scope of your authority, to remain in your jurisdiction. Don't think that the authority that God has given you is a universal authority that you can express and exercise anyhow, anywhere. If you step outside of your jurisdiction, you will make yourself a cheap prey to the devil. There are two critical passages that are very interesting that we need to put into context and understand them properly. The first one is in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke 10, 19. Here Jesus is the one speaking. He said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." If you see this passage carefully, you will see how absolute the power that God has given to us is. It is absolute. There is no form of limitation to it with respect to our engagement with the enemy. He said, "I have given you what? Power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." That is to say, our power is superior to the powers of the enemy. In all its extent, in all its scope, in all its ramification, whatever kind of power the enemy can generate, Jesus had given the church power that is over all the power of the enemy. And in view of this power, he said, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." Not even by means that is deliberate, or by means that it is a mistake, or by means that it is intentional, or by means that it is ignorant. That is, by no means, nothing shall hurt you. As far as the power Jesus gave us is concerned, it is absolute. Now, the second passage I want us to analyze is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible now reveals that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In this passage, The Bible reveals that the people with which we engage in warfare are principalities, they are powers, they are rulers, and they are spiritual wickednesses in high places. Now, when you read this passage, in your mind, you will begin to think that if these are the people that we wrestle with, it means the absolute power that God had given us above all the power of the enemy, we can engage it and be successful against these persons. If you assume like that, your assumption is absolutely correct. Because Jesus said, I have given you power above all the powers of the enemy. But there's a catch. And let me clarify it for you tonight. In every kind of warfare, there are two major factors. Factor number one is the enemy, the adversary, the foe, the person that you are going to fight against. That is the factor number one. In every form of warfare, there is a second factor. And the second factor is the battleground. You need to understand these two things, and you need to understand the dynamics around these two things. They are very important for you to fully appreciate in order to prosecute an effective and a successful spiritual warfare. You must understand who the enemy is, and you must understand the location of the battleground. Every battle has an enemy, and every battle has a location where this battle are engaged. When we're looking at the battle between the armies of Saul and the Philistine armies, the location was clearly delineated that it was in a territory in Judah. Every warfare has an enemy, and every warfare has a battleground where the battle is engaged. I think that is clear so far. All right. As far as the enemy is concerned, the dynamics around the enemy is very simple and straightforward. It's either that the enemy is stronger than you, or the enemy is weaker than you. Very simple, isn't it? It's either that you are more powerful than the enemy, or you are weaker than the enemy. That is just plain fact about the dynamics regarding the enemy. How about the battleground? In every combat, there is something concerning the battleground or the field of combat called high ground. High ground. A high ground is an advantageous position of a particular opponent that he has against the other side. So, for example, in physical combat, if someone is standing on an elevated position, probably on a hill, and you are in a valley, that person on the hill is on a high ground with respect to where you are. And the most probable outcome of such a battle is the person on the high ground has the advantage of victory compared to the person in the low ground. So just in case the weaker enemy is the one that has the high ground, If the stronger enemy understands dynamics of warfare, he will not engage the weaker enemy when the weaker enemy has that kind of advantage. Because if they attempt it, the chances of the weaker enemy winning that warfare is way higher. And that's the reason why very experienced war veterans, if they realize that they are facing a more formidable foe, if they realize that the forces of the enemy against them is larger, is stronger, is bigger than their force, they will not just enter into that battle anyhow. They will intelligently choose the battleground in such a way that it will give them the high ground. Are we following? A very simple analogy is a movie that was acted many years ago based on Greek mythology titled 300, where you have a Spartan king with just 300 of his personal guard taking down an entire horde of Persian army. Why? The Spartans had a high ground because the location that the Spartan king chose gave them an advantage. It was such a location that had a narrow passage. And on the other side, there was a cliff. So all they needed to do was to leverage that location, because his army is a very tiny army of just miserly 300 foot soldiers. They just stayed in that tiny passage, and the entire horde of the Persian forces that were coming, all of them get narrowed into that tiny space. And so they got easily defeated cheaply. It was until a Spartan went and sold out to the enemy, and the enemy found another place and launched an attack in such a way that the Spartan's army didn't have a high ground anymore. Then they suffered a very cheap victory. That is the nature of combat. That is the nature of warfare. Even if your own power is above all the powers of the enemy, if the enemy has the high ground in that warfare, you will suffer defeat. Are we following tonight? And that is where the implication of jurisdiction comes in. Your high ground is when you remain in your jurisdiction. The enemies we fight, the Bible said, they can be terrestrial, in form of serpents, in form of scorpions. And the enemy we fight are not only terrestrial. We also have enemy that are in the heavenlies. Our power is above all the power of the enemy. And the enemy that we fight, some of them are domiciled where? In the heavenlies. But where has God given to the children of men? The earth realm. So if you are going to prosecute a war, keep it where? Within your jurisdiction where you have the high ground. Are you following so far? It doesn't matter the horde of demons or fallen angels or principalities or powers that are in the second heavens. It doesn't matter whatever they are doing there. We don't care. The only time it becomes our business is when they bring their business from the second heavens into the earth realm. Are you following? They have entered into our high ground. That is why it becomes critical that you understand nature of warfare. Don't step into the high ground of the enemy, because it is the earth that God gave to the sons, the children of men. Are we following tonight? Don't take the enemy on his high ground. Stay in your high ground, which is in your jurisdiction. And when the enemy comes at you in your space, then you can win him cheaply. Now, how does principalities work? How does powers work? How does rulers of darkness work? How does spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies work? The way they work on earth is by leveraging partnership with stakeholders in the earth domain to give them license to operate. That is how they work. That is how they bring wickedness to our domain. They will need a human being to yield to them. That is why we have things like witchcraft. We have things like sorcery. We have things like idolatry. All of these are avenues where they cut partnership with human beings that have been given the earth realm, and they use the rights these human beings give them to operate here. That is how they step in and bring influence in the earth realm and prosecute their interest in the earth realm. Are we following so far? Good. So very quickly, I want to clearly point out where you should never take your battles to. The first one is, do not take battle into the second heavens. That is outside your jurisdiction. Don't pray and say, all the cosmic powers in the second heavens, the principality in the heavenlies, you have stepped outside of your jurisdiction. If you have prayed that kind of prayer before, it was the mercy of God that kept you. So, because I hear someone arguing that, but I prayed that prayer and nothing has happened. You were such a babe, and so God had to use his sovereignty to preserve you. You have stepped outside of your domain. The way to tackle the powers in the second heaven is to realize that while they are in second heavens, there's nothing they can do. They will need to bring an influence by stepping into your space to create wickedness. And the moment they step into your space, then you can tackle them, because now they are in your space, the earth realm. Is that clear? Number two, do not take battles and go directly to challenge or confront a demonic power that has been given authority to exist in a territory or location by another human being. This is remotely connected to the issue of enchanted spaces, haunted grounds that we addressed yesterday. So if, for example, a man had decided to build his house and dedicated it to Satan. Don't go there challenging those powers just like that. Are we together? You can challenge those powers, but there is a way to do it. But don't just get up. You see the village shrine, and you felt this shrine has been the one responsible for tying your destiny. And you just heard the message, and you got out of that service with passion and zeal and fervor. And you headed straight to the woods to go and destroy the shrine. Another human being with legitimate authority on earth here gave that principality the right to exist in that particular shrine. You have trespassed someone's property. You may be struck. Are we following? Where we say, don't take battle to directly, it does not mean there is no way we can dismantle the demonic power there. But there is a way to do it. It is not to engage it foolishly. It's not to engage it with a zeal without knowledge. Are we following? Where you realize that there is an existing property that has been dedicated to Satan, and you want to undo that installation, there are two ways to go about it. Number one, secure the legitimate permission, either from the owner of the facility or someone that has a right over the facility. Is that clear? Are we following? These are legal issues. It's just like going to vandalize someone's property. Will the authorities leave you? The answer is no. So you must secure permission from someone that has authority over that property. The second way to do it is to secure a mandate from God, because the earth is still his own. And in this respect, this is where, so, for example, they say there is a witchcraft tree in the community that people make sacrifice, and it has tied the destiny of the community. Don't just show up and go and pour oil and curse the tree. The curse might not work on the tree, but it may work. But not on the tree. You get my meaning? You may receive a feedback. The way to prosecute such a battle is you engage God in prayers and secure a direct marching order from God. That is how we do it. Are we following? That is how we do it. You want to curse a demonic installation that another human being had established. You go to God and secure a word from God on the authority of that word, because the Lord is still the one that owns the earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So if you can't get permission from the human owner, you get authorization from God, who is the ultimate owner. And on that ground, you can go and curse and bring judgment to that installation. Are we following tonight? So, these are two critical things that we should be aware of. Don't go and challenge cosmic powers directly. neither should you go and challenge installations of darkness without authorization. Are we following? Now, having known what not to challenge, what are the things that you can challenge without permission? Number one, when something comes to violate your body, the thing has entered into your authority space. It has entered into your jurisdiction. And this includes sickness. This includes chronic lack. This includes disfavor. This includes cycles of misfortune. Anything that affects your person, anything that affects you directly, has violated you, has trespassed your jurisdiction. You can judge it. Are we following? Number two, your family. Anything that trespasses into your family has trespassed your jurisdiction. You have a right to judge it. You have a right to challenge it. You have a right to address it. Are we following? Number three, if you are a part of an organization, or you are a part of a community, or you are a part of any form of association that gives you a legal or formal connection, such a space, you have some legality to prosecute warfare. For example, if you live in a neighborhood, that is your neighborhood. The Bible says, wheresoever the sole of your feet shall step, what happened? He has given it to you. If you are a student, while your time of being a student is still valid, you have right in that school to exercise authority. You have legality in that school to exercise authority. If you are a staff in a company, in an organization, there is a legality you have there. Hence, you have rights at a certain level to bring influence there, to exercise authority there. Are we following? Somebody asked a question the other day that, what if you pay for a house rent and moving and discover that it's a haunted house? What do I do? There are two options. You can decide to look for another house and move out. Option number two, you can stand on the ground of tenancy law, because you have a right in the duration of your rent, because you paid for it, and draw a battle line. These are the two options you have. But I want you to know that the owner of the house has right, which is why he gave it to Satan. But within the scope of your tenancy rights, you can suspend the activities of demons while you are there till your rent expires. Are we following? These are legal matters. But let's say your rent has expired and you have not had money to renew it. Your prayers will be two. One is prayer for provision for the house rent. It's a more critical prayer point. And then number two, in view of the fact that there is an understanding that you will eventually pay, the demons still don't have right to oppress you. If they oppress you, they have trespassed. Are you following me? See, when you understand the dynamics of war, it will influence your attitude towards the war. The way you will engage it will not be from the standpoint of fear. You will exercise your authority and prosecute your wars from a different angle. The reason why many of us, at the appearance of demonic wickedness, we panic. We are pleading the blood of Jesus. We are calling the name of Jesus. And we are trying to see which one work. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost fire. You are trying which of them will work. The reason is because there is ignorance. That's why we are bringing this education. Are we following? Now, let me tell this story I have told over and over and over. Probably it may help somebody. The house where I live in today, the first time I moved into that house, I moved in to pay the rent for the house. And then I moved in as a rented apartment. When I got into that house, I noticed that the property just behind my window is owned by a different person. And as at that time, they have not fenced it. And just outside my window, that place was a swamp. So they cultivated sugarcane there. Then, few months after moving into that property, few weeks after moving into that property, I began to notice witchcraft activities in the neighborhood. But as at the time, I was so busy with ministry work, so I say, well, if you don't bother me, maybe I'll allow you for some time because I have more pressing issues dealing with now. So I didn't bother with the witchcraft activity. I hope you know that if you are in the farm and you see a snake, you can afford to ignore the snake and walk away. But when you get back home and you saw a snake inside your house, it's a different matter. Are you with me? So I noticed a lot of witchcraft activity. So I said, well, if you don't bother me, I will not bother you. I'll just mind my business. And life went on fine. Then one day, in the afternoon, before time for service, around 2, I decided to take a brief nap. And then when I got up around 3 to start heading for service, which is by 4, I noticed that I was having pains on my neck. And I vaguely remembered that it was like a hand came through my window to press my neck. Because my bed was a very strong, hard bed mattress. And I didn't use pillow. And you know, in Makurdi, if you are wise, you will keep your bed at the edge of the window. Who agree with me? Yes. That wisdom will come naturally to you. Especially when we approach the months of February ending to March. That wisdom, it just comes. And it comes in a very subtle, calm way, but you can't resist it. So it's in your interest to make sure your bed is raised to the level of the window and placed just at the window. And so when you lie on such a bed, you want to lie close to the window. So I placed my head by the window, opened, and then I felt it's like a hand pressed my neck in that afternoon. I waved it away. I say it's my mind. Nothing like that. But I had some mild pain on my neck. I went for service at the tent. After we closed from service, I got back home. And then sometime around 10 p.m., I decided to go to bed. And somewhere around 11 p.m., this time, I saw a thick hand, that the arm is twice mine. Very thick and solid hand come through the window. in my sleep now, grabbed my throat and squeezed. What? So I woke up suddenly. Now, with a pain on my neck. So when I woke up suddenly, the darkness from the sugarcane swamp hit me immediately. And then fear. You know this fear that is palpable. You can feel it. You know, there are levels of fear. There's a level of fear that come, you are scared, and then you take off. But there is another level of fear that when it comes, you are frozen. It's the highest degree that came and struck me in my heart. As I woke up, darkness through my window, fear. And if there is nothing I hate, it is fear. I can't afford it. It's too expensive. I hate it with the whole of my life. God had trained me in the area of fear. I had a childhood that I suffered a lot of demonic oppression. That I don't need to sleep to begin to have nightmare. As I close my eyes, it starts. I have a history with demonic oppression. So when God delivered me, the last mistake the enemy will make is to scare me. I'm not saying I won't be terrified, but I manage it differently. So when I had that fear, I now calmed myself and sat on my bed. My lecture on the history of my history with fear will be another day. When I sat on my bed, I said, I say, if you don't bother me, I won't bother you. And now, I'm just trying to sleep, and you come to bother me. I say, well, you have trespassed. I paid for this house. I didn't pay to have a fellow tenant that will come and live with me. I paid for this house. Number one, it is written, they that sleep, sleep at night. This is night. I want to be sure I'm in my right according to the law. He said, they that sleep, sleep at night. This is night. Number two, it is written, he giveth his beloved sleep. I am his beloved. It's also written, the angels that kept not their estate are committed to chains of darkness. So I said, you are the one that violated and you were thrust to chains of darkness, and we gave you permission to be strolling in our world, and that is not enough for you. You are coming to trespass me in my own bedroom. I say, okay. It is written, let the high praise of God be in their lips and a two-edged sword in their mouth to execute vengeance on the nation and judgment on the heathen, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute the judgment written. This honor has all his saints. I am one of the saints. And there's a sentence that had been written that I can execute now. But you know what? I'm in a good mood today. I'm going to go back to bed. If you don't enjoy the liberty of strolling around in the earth, trespass me again. And then I'll throw you to where you belong. I reminded him that the angels that kept not their first estate are thrust into chains of darkness. Since that is where you want to go, trespass me again. I put my head back by that window and closed my eyes. And it felt like 5 minutes, and I started feeling heat on my face. So I said, what is going on? When I opened my eyes, it was the heat of the sun of 10 a.m. the next day. I don't know how the night passed. But like I always say, I have a theory. And my theory is, that spirit might have stood guard to make sure another demon doesn't come and they will say it's him. To make sure I slept sound that night. When you know the law, you will prosecute it differently when you engage warfare. Are we following? The first you need to understand is your jurisdiction is what? Your body. Number two, your family. Number three, anywhere you have any form of legality to. The community where you live, the office where you work. See, this is what witches leverage. It's a universal spiritual law. That is why your family, everything can be fine until you brought one house help. Even though you are the head of the family, is the house help leveraging her right to be a house help in that home that regulate the spiritual climate, bring affliction on everybody? Are we following? I want you to know that we live in a wicked world. There are people that build an estate, and while the foundation of the structure is being constructed, they bury human beings alive. I heard of a so-called church somewhere in Lagos several years ago that all the pillars that hold the church structure, they buried human beings in each of the footing of the pillar. You will go to that kind of church and be saying, yes, Papa, I'll prophesy over your life. You don't know you are in a haunted ground. The next place where you have jurisdiction is your divine assignment. Has God commissioned you into ministry? That ministry is your jurisdiction. The venue you use, the location you use, the activities involved in that ministry, everything that connects directly or indirectly to that divine assignment is your jurisdiction. Are we following? It's your jurisdiction. And then, the next area of jurisdiction you have is any promise you find in the Bible is your jurisdiction. It is yours. So how do you defeat principalities? How can you cut down ancient powers? Don't bother where they are living. It's just like a snake in the forest, except you want to hunt Yongu. If not, our international audience, Yongu is the name for bush rat. What we call bush rat, Yongu. Except you are after Yongu. If not, you can see a snake in the forest and decide to ignore it. But when he enters into your house, the issue is a different issue. Are we following? So let's say you are in the line of ministry and the demonic power holding someone that was brought to you to minister to. The demonic power is from the second heaven. That demon has entered your space. Are you with me? It has what? It's illegal. God sent you. Let me add this. The next point, where you have jurisdiction is wherever God sent you. When there is a specific assignment God sends you, that errand is a jurisdiction for you. Anything that crossed your path has stepped into your space. Now, we had warned that when you trespass a territory that demons have legal authorization, you can open yourself up to spiritual attack. Now, I want to reiterate the point we made again. When you go to such places, the purpose for which you go to such places is very significant. I did give you the list of possible places like that, isn't it? Let's say there is a nightclub and a friend invited you over. Or for some of us doing ministry in the public space, maybe you have a client that you have been pursuing, and finally the client gave you an appointment, and the rendezvous place for the appointment is one of these kind of places. It's in a nightclub. It's in one of these territories that the purpose of the activity there is for an abominable thing that does not glorify God. What do you do? The way to go to such places is to go in battle mode. Is to do what? Go there in battle mode. It is biblical for us to walk. And if your line of duty takes you into a demonic territory, do what? Go there in battle mode. If you go there to meet that client, know that you are not just there for business, physical and only. You are also there for spiritual warfare. If it's possible for you to not go there, fine. But it's not always possible. So sometimes you may have a very, very good potential client and he is not saved. You go there to wherever he is and do your business with him. But go there how? Battle mode. When you get to such a place and you open your heart to entertain the pleasure of the iniquity there, you have opened yourself and made yourself vulnerable. If the reason why you are going there is just out of mere curiosity, let me even see what's going on there. You have opened yourself and made yourself vulnerable. Are we following? Sometimes we may want to unwind and we take either our family or friend or go alone to a cinema, a movie cinema. Check the movies very well. The one you choose to watch, check it very well. Preview it. If in the process of getting unwind, an act of iniquity, an act of abomination is being projected and your heart goes for it and you enjoy it and you indulge it, you have opened yourself for infiltration of demons. That is the reason why pornography is one of the easiest way for demonic possession. Demonic possession. Because you have brought iniquity before your face. Are we following? So this are things that we must understand and not live our lives loosely and make ourselves cheap praise. They say a magician is in a street neighborhood performing magic. Everybody is running to go and see what he's doing with a snake, dancing with snake, dancing with hyena. And you too, as everybody is running out of curiosity to come and watch, you too went to go and see what the magician is doing. He brings a box. He shows everybody it's an empty box. He drops it in the presence of everybody. He takes a wrapper. He shows everybody. He covers the box with it. And then he begins to chant incantations. And then he dips his hand inside the box and start bringing stuff out. He will bring money out. He will bring clothes out. You bring a pack of detergent out. You bring a pack of cookies out. Some people even collect the biscuit to go and eat. Your being there, you are in a demonic climate. Opening your heart to get entertained by that makes you vulnerable. Anytime you are going to step into a demonic territory, make sure you are on war mode. And the best way to go to that place, if you must, is on instruction from God. Avenues of normal, natural social engagements have been weaved into the occult, skillfully embellished and made to look civilized. And through it, a lot of people have become demonized today. I hear how students of sociology and anthropology once and again are told to go to shrines to go and understand how the thing happens. You are a believer, you are in that class, and you think you can just go to that shrine and just run an interview. You are stepping into an enchanted ground. If you must go there for your educational purpose, know that you must go there in what? War mode. What do I mean by war mode? Let me clarify that too. War mode means you are going there on the legitimate argument of what is taking you there, and you are going there on red alert that if any theme around you, you will bring that place down. Are you with me? I am a student, and my course requires that I go to a shrine for an assignment that I must submit. I will go to that shrine. But I'm not just coming there to get information for my paper. I am coming there red eye. A lot of people have been exposed to the demonic, even in the medical field. There are a lot of medical procedures today, particularly in the psychological, parapsychological world, that people have been demonized ignorantly. They say this challenge you are going through, it defies natural medicine. So we have to use other forms of treatment. And then they tell you there is a trauma. And this trauma is responsible for your psychological issue. And we need to dig deep into your subconsciousness in order to find the root cause of this trauma causing this depression. So we need to subject you to hypnosis. And then you open yourself for the psychiatrist or the psychologist to hypnotize you. You don't know they have switched into the occult. Say, free your mind, free your mind. They will tell you, look at this candle, dangle the thing before you. Before you know, you blank out. And then they say, okay, where are you? You'll be talking. I am here. And then they are telling you to go to this place in your past. You don't know they have moved from the natural into the demonic. You can't come out of that place normal. Go and check. Go and check. There is nobody, I mean nobody, that they have used those psychological therapies to cure ever. None. Zero. They will only psych you to make you feel you are getting better. And you will only be managed for the rest of your life. That is why psychiatric hospitals are built like prisons. They don't expect you to recover and go back home. It's mild here in Africa. You don't have a clue the degree of the occult in psychology. Go to the West. People that seemed to have been to psychiatric hospitals, were placed on admission and came out, were people that did prison break. You are not expected to recover. You are expected to be managed for the rest of your life. You are demonized. They wear you a cloth that have long hand and tie the hand round. If you see it, you know that Satan lives in these hospitals. A lot of avenues have been created to give Satan leverage into the lives of people. And you cannot afford to be ignorant. You must know when your space has been trespassed. A member of my family several years ago began to experience a phenomenon. When I give an instruction and they disobey me, they act in rebellion, they get struck with sickness. And it happened, and it became a pattern. And the person reached out to me that, I will not disobey you again. Anytime I disobey you, I become struck with sickness. And in her mind, she was thinking that, let me behave myself well now, because this man is anointed. Let me know how I'm acting towards this man. And she would think that I will now feel like an anointed and you can't dare disobey me. No. Upon getting that feedback, I uttered a decree. I say, Satan, this is a member of my family. You have no business here. I'm the one that disobeyed, not you. Let me not hear that they fell sick next time they disobey me. Did I take a risk? Yes! Because afterwards, they became more stubborn and realized that nothing else was going wrong. And it increased their level of rebellion. I say, it's me. Satan, there is no space. No sickness in my family. I will manage little rebellion in my home. I don't need your help. Hallelujah. Tonight, we're going to rise up and pray. When you function and you prosecute your war from the standpoint of understanding, you have more authority. You know that this is my space. Satan, you are the one that trespassed. Now get out. You are not praying random prayer and just shouting mindlessly and trying any of the weapons, whether Holy Ghost, fire, or blood of Jesus, or name of Jesus, and see which one will work. No. You function with authority. You are audacious because you are in your right. And the law backs the person who is in his right. That's what Abraham told God in Genesis. He said, should the judge of the whole earth not do right? Can you rise up tonight? Which aspect of your life has been trespassed? You can rise and judge it tonight. Can you begin to lift your voice? Is it your health that has been trespassed? The scripture had already made provision that he took our infirmity in his own body. Are you sick here tonight? That is where I want us to start from. I want you to plant your hand on your own head and address that sickness. One major area of your jurisdiction is the promises of scripture. Anything God has provided for in scripture is your right, is your entitlement. You can demand it. You can demand it. You are not begging the devil to consider you. You are not trying to start a new fight. The fight is over. More than 2,000 years ago, the fight is over. You are not trying to start a new fight. Jesus already defeated Satan, gotten us the victory. We are only demanding the release of what Jesus has paid for. You can't, our father will say, no matter how much you love a product, you can't pay more than once. Jesus cannot pay for something and then you are coming to pay for it again. No, sir. It's an error. What is that area in your body? in your life that Satan has trespassed you. Can you lift your voice? Can you lift your voice? And begin to eject, issue an eviction notice tonight. You have no right in my body. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost cannot live in a deceased vessel. You cannot live in my mind. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I am not confused. I am not disillusioned. I refuse doubt. I refuse confusion. I refuse fear. I refuse anxiety. Is it in your emotions? Satan has built a throne in your emotion. You are always under torment of fear. You are always under torment of fear, dread. You can't sleep alone in the night. You can't sleep alone in the room in the night. Tonight you must rise up. You must rise up. What is that aspect of your life that the enemy have been trespassing you? It's a trespass. The Bible says when the thief is caught, he will be made to pay fourfold. He will be made to pay sevenfold. Where has Satan been stealing from you? Stealing and getting away with it. Can you rise up tonight? Can you begin to evict every illegal occupant in your space? Every illegal occupant in your destiny. Every illegal occupant that has trespassed you. Can you begin to evict them tonight? You following us online tonight, can you begin to demand that your space be evicted of every illegal occupant? You are a daughter of destiny. You cannot be bound by chains of disfavor. Can you break yourself off those chains tonight? You are a daughter of destiny. It is written, none shall want her mate. And this was addressed to animals, not human beings. You cannot be a human being and want a mate. You desire to be married and you experience a delay. Can you rise up tonight? Don't wait for the bull to be stirred. Rise up tonight and check out that influence of delay that is trespassing you. That is trespassing you. Can you rise up tonight and check it out? Shababalati ekato koparaladash shandala bregedegele baragadosh ekapo koparati mantala bregedegele beregedosh eragadagala baragalabadosh eragadagala baragalabadosh rateke paralata malanto kombalalianto shandala baragalabalabadosh. You say, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. 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 Pray tonight. Exercise dominion. Exercise dominion. It is your jurisdiction. It is your jurisdiction. You have been given authority in your own space. It is your own space. It is your own space. You have power to exercise authority in your own space. the earth has he given to the sons of men. The earth has he given to the children of men. If that problem is in this world, it is under your dominion. If that problem is in this earth, it is in your space. It is in your space. Can you check it out tonight? Can you expel it tonight? Some of you have been given opportunities, and they ask you to come up with an idea, and your head is blocked. No idea seems to flow. God has already spoken to you that you can start something, and he will bless the works of your hand, and your head becomes blocked. No idea. Can you cut off that hand blocking your creativity tonight? Can you cut it off? Cut it off. It is trespassing your creativity. Oh, Baba, 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 Latin. Elanta la beragalos, ekababa balanto, shanda la baragalabadosh, shanda la baragalabaragalabadosh. The psalmist says he settled the solitary in families. He settled the solitary in families. Do you desire to be settled in your own family tonight? That scripture is your jurisdiction. Can you make demand for it? You can make demand for it. 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 We are in a season of victory. We are in a season of deliverance. You can step into your harvest. You can march into your harvest. You can make demands for it. Whatever is trespassing you, you can make war. You are in your right. You are in your right. You can make war. It's your jurisdiction. You can make war. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We may be seated. Is there anybody suffering under the yoke of sickness, of a bodily affliction? You have tried several efforts to get cure, and it has defied every effort of medication.
You can rise up to your feet tonight. If you have any pain in your body, you have a sickness in your body, we are not about to start a new fight. It's a fight that ended a very long time ago. Jesus already defeated. Jesus already paid for your sickness, for your disease. So we are not trying to do something new that you will feel we need to generate energy in order to do it. We are only going to take delivery of what Jesus already paid for. The Bible says, by his stripes, we were, in the past tense, we were healed. So we are only going to appropriate the healing that is available. You're following us online. This applies to you. We are only taking delivery. It's as simple as that. So can you place your hand where you have the pain? And if it's an internal disease, you want to place your hand on your head. And so tonight, Lord, I take authority over the spirit of affliction. I command you to lose your hold over the lives of God's people. I bind you. And I command you to come out of their bodies now. In the name of Jesus. I bring judgment by the blood of Jesus against any form of affliction tonight. Whether you are a bodily deformity, whether you are a mental deformity, whether you are a blood disease, an organ disease, a tissue disease, whatever your name is called, we are not interested tonight. I bind you and I command you to lose your hold now in the name of Jesus. And so from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, I pronounce you every whit be made whole in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Let healing be freely distributed tonight. On ground, on sight, let healing be freely distributed tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Healings are already taking place. So don't just sit down. I want you to check your body now. And try to do what you can't do, you couldn't do before. If it's something you can check right now, I want you to check it now. And if something that you need a lab result to confirm, you'll do well first thing tomorrow morning to visit a lab. Because God is taking infirmities from bodies. If you notice a change in your body, can I see your hand? Because God is already healing. You notice a change in your body. Try what you couldn't try before. You notice a change in your body. Quickly come out. Let's take your testimonies quickly. Do what you couldn't do before. The same God is rich unto all. If you felt sick in your body and you are seeing people getting healed, it is because the healing is available. So do what you couldn't do before because healing is taking place. Please come to the front if you notice a change in your body. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Let's do this in the next few minutes. You notice a change in your body. Come forward. If it's something you can check now and you still feel the pain, check it again. Healing is taking place. Hallelujah. Can we celebrate Jesus? Oh my God. Can you see mommy jumping? Can we celebrate Jesus? You see, this thing is that practical. All right? Spiritual victory is that practical. You can appropriate it now. Now, the reason why we are experimenting with these testimonies is just so you know that if it was a spiritual warfare that you are going through, the power that brought this healing now has also visited your case. You follow us online and you notice a change, please drop your testimonies. Drop your testimonies because there is healing all over the place. All right, can we take the testimonies quickly? Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our brother here, Brother Peter. He said there was a pain in his ribs. He went to the hospital, the doctors confirmed it. There's a medical name they call.
What's the name? The name. What did they call it?
Called it cold.
Sorry?
They say cold.
Cold, okay.
So when he came here, he came with that pain on his ribs. He said, when you quoted Isaiah 53, as you are just quoting that scripture, he discovered something left him.
Hallelujah. He said, he sent forth his word. And what did the word do? It's you that don't know how powerful scripture is. So when we say, allow the Bible to restrain you, that is what makes scripture powerful on your lips. When you recognize the authority of scripture. Can we celebrate Jesus one more time? That healing is permanent in Jesus' name.
We have a testimony here, sir.
Okay.
Since on the 15th of January, our sister have had this pain that moves from her chest to her back. But she said she came here this evening. As the prayer went on, the pain, she felt the pain lifted, and now she's completely healed.
Can we celebrate Jesus? That healing is permanent in Jesus' name.
Our brother came into this hall with migraine. She said he said the headache became very intense, but while the prayer went on, the headache left, and now he's completely healed.
Hallelujah. You see, one thing that we must never do is to get used to the power of God. Every single time you see the hand of God in manifestation, you must acknowledge it. Are we together? Can we celebrate Jesus?
Another testimony, sir.
Okay.
For 4 days, she has had this pain in her chest. She said the pain moves around her chest region, but while the prayer went on this evening, to the glory of God, she's completely healed. No more pain.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For Mama here, now, part of it, they said her kidney, doctor said her kidney is swollen, it's expanding. But as she came here, she said before now, she discovered that her lower regions began to swell. And as it got swollen, she couldn't do what she was doing
something
just yet.
Say
today, something actually came out of her mouth.
Like, what?
Something came out of my mouth like shock.
Wow.
Like shock, white. To my mouth.
Can we celebrate Jesus? The symptoms of the kidney challenge that you had, all the symptoms, the swollen, the weight, your inability to move freely, now you can jump.
Glory.
Can we celebrate Jesus? Now, what does this tell you? It means that kidney issue have been arrested.
Do you know what it means to have a kidney issue? Can we celebrate Jesus? Lord, we give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Yes, the sister here, she said all through yesterday while she was in church, she was weak. And today also, she during the course of the service, she was weak. But during the prayer, as you began to pray, she discovered that she became strong. And now she's totally whole.
Hallelujah. Yes.
For our sister here, her neck, she said she had a pain on her neck. And as you were praying, during the course of the prayer, the pains are no more, they are vanished.
Can you try what you couldn't do before? You couldn't turn like this before. Give Jesus praise. Give him a mighty, mighty clap. Any testimony from the online audience? Your healings are permanent in the name of Jesus. You may go back to your seat. We have Mariano Umbuta. Chest pain and abdominal pain were lifted. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Okoyemi, it's like God came tonight for pain. Anything causing you pain in your life, I issue a decree tonight that they are terminated in the name of Jesus. Do we have any other one? Yes, we have Sister Okoyemi Renike. Pain is gone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, can we have maybe one or two of our brethren on Zoom prayed for before I leave your face? Okay, we have another testimony. He said, my head was very tight, as if something was tied to my head. I suffered memory loss, and I was oppressed because I feel something move all over my body. But as Pastor prayed, my head is free, and I am healed. Give him praise. Give him glory. Hallelujah. All right, can we minister to one person on Zoom quickly? And then we'll bring the service to a close. Okay? All right. Maybe tomorrow we'll do that. Okay, we have a testimony from the US by Manuela. Put up that testimony. Put up that testimony again. Yes, let's take that testimony quickly. Oh, my time is running out. Technical people, can you help us? Let's take the testimony. Okay, I have a testimony. I came here with a humpback. My God. But after prayer, my back has straightened up. Jesus. Hallelujah. Also, I had evil plantations all around my body. And as we prayed, I felt them leaving. Do you know what is a humpback? Have you seen a humpback before? This is a creative miracle you see here. Can we celebrate Jesus? Lord, we give you all the glory. This is mighty. Only Jesus can do this. Only Jesus can do this. This is a mighty testimony. Your healing, your deliverance is permanent in Jesus' name. Give him praise. Hallelujah.
Can you shout hallelujah to Jesus? Praise the Lord.
What that means is that your own testimony is already on the way. Whatever you are believing God for, it is already on the way. Shout hallelujah! Can the offering basket go around, please? In a moment. Hallelujah. The fasting and prayers continue tomorrow. We're back here by 4 o'clock. Please, don't be weary. Keep a date. Don't be weary of good doing. And I know what you are doing is good. The scripture says you will what? You will receive a reward. Praise the Lord. And the sacrifice, the door of the sacrifices are still open until the last day of the fast. If you have not given your own sacrifice, if you are still putting things together, you are welcome, whether on ground here, you can put it in the basket during the course of the service, or you can make use of the account. The account numbers are projected on the screen. Praise the Lord. Can we rise on our feet if the offering is done? And give him praise, give him glory for what he has done.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.